Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 44. Etad vam darshitam rupam prag janma smaranayame nanyata madbhavam jnanam Martyalingena Jayate. Etat. This form of Vishnu. Vam. Unto both of you. Darshitam. Has been shown. Rupam. My form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with four hands. Prak janma, of my previous appearances, smaranaya, just to remind you, may, my, na, not, anyata, otherwise, but bhavam, Vishnu's appearance, Janma, jana, jnanam, this transcendental knowledge, martya, lingena, by taking birth like a human child, jayate, does arise. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I have shown you this form of Vishnu, just remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appear like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Purport. Devaki did not need to be reminded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared as her son. She already accepted this. Nonetheless, she was anxious, thinking that if her neighbors heard that Vishnu had appeared as her son, none of them would believe it. Therefore, she wanted Lord Vishnu to transform himself into a human child. On the other hand, the Supreme Lord was also anxious, thinking that if he appeared as an ordinary child, she would not believe that Lord Vishnu had appeared. Such are the dealings between devotees and the Lord. The Lord deals with his devotees exactly like a human being, but this does not mean that the Lord is one of the human beings, for this is the conclusion of non-devotees. Avajananti mam uda manashim dhanam ashrityam. Devotees know the Supreme Personality of Godhead under any circumstances. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. The Lord says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances unto me, and worship me. A non-devotee cannot believe that simply by thinking of one person, one can achieve liberation from this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But this is the fact. The Lord comes as a human being, and if one becomes attached to the Lord on the platform of loving service, one's promotion to the transcendental world is assured. Text again. Etad vam darshitam rupam prajanma smaranayame Nanyata madbhavam jnanam martya lingena jayate. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appear like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. And Devaki and Vasudeva's previous birth, as we heard, One of their births they had was Prishni and Sutapa. And in that birth, after performing austerities, they got Krishna as Prishni Garba as their son. Prishni Garba has four arms. And he was the one who appeared before Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was under great, great, great austerities, in order to satisfy the demigods, Lord Prishni Garba appeared before him and offered him the benediction of the pole star, which is a planet, a Vaikuntha planet, within this universe, which is greater than that of Lord Brahma. And then the next birth, he took birth as Vamanadev. And in that, or the other one is the brother of Indra. That was when they were Kashyapa and Aditi. And of course, Vamanadeva only has two arms, but when he expanded himself as Trivikram, when Upendra transformed himself as Trivikram, then he was quite big. He expanded himself to the whole size of the universe, and there he had four arms. Now, Krishna would appear as a little baby to Devaki and Vasudev. They might not have remembered that actually in their previous birth, they had taken birth as Prishni and Sutapa and Kashyapa and Aditi. And so in order to remind them that actually they prayed for the Supreme Personality of God as their son, so now he's actually appearing, but in a form which is like that of a little baby, an ordinary child. Now, we ourselves probably, we didn't perform so many pious activities in the past that we got Krishna as our child with four arms or two arms or whatever. We didn't get Krishna as our child in any birth. Now, Krishna is appearing as a holy name, and it is said, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's taking the part of as a devotee, he says the holy name he heard was quite glorious. Chaito, Dharpanam, Arjunam, Baba Mahadevagni, Nirvapanam. We hear so many glories with the holy name. It cleanses the mirror of the mind. It's an ocean of bliss. It's the life of all transcendental knowledge, etc., etc. But we chant Hare Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the part of a conditioned soul, says, I'm chanting, but I have no taste for the chanting. So why is that? Because nam namakari bahudani de sarva shaktis tetrapitani maitan smaranena kalaha etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi toidayavamidrishami hajani na anuragaha. There's no attachment to the holy name. Why? Because I'm committing offenses. So the gravest offense is to consider that Krishna is just an ordinary person. And since he's appearing as the holy name, we also consider the holy name to be an ordinary sound vibration. Maybe something extraordinary, but after all, we keep on chanting it. But to think that Krishna, the source of all material and spiritual worlds, can appear just through sound vibration, unless one is offenselessly chanting the holy name, one cannot completely realize that. It remains theoretical. But at least we should accept it as something theoretical rather than be simply skeptical. Oh, how can this possible and not possible? Oh, we should at least theoretically accept it, and then we can make progress. And therefore, our attempt at the beginning is to give the background by which at least theoretically we can accept that Krishna and his name are non-different. So that with that acceptance, we can chant Hare Krishna and avoid the 10 offenses. For instance, to see that, think that everyone else is, all the other devotees are ordinary also, which is the first offense. considered commit offenses against the devotees, especially the devotees who are propagating the holy name. So to think that there is only one energy material, according to my estimation, means that we'll also think that the holy name is material too, because there's only one energy called material, and everyone is material. So how is that there's something other energy called spiritual in the holy name? If the devotees are also material, then why not the material, is the holy name also material? Maybe it's not so holy. In other words, if the holy name is just material, then anyone who's chanting it, they're just ordinary persons, they're just also material. But if the holy name is spiritual, is non-different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the whole spiritual world are there, along with the holy name, then anyone chanting the holy name must be influenced by it to a certain extent. And therefore they must be extraordinary, because all the other people who are not chanting, they're simply material. They're in material energy. So therefore, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives in propagation of the holy name is also an impediment. Now, it doesn't mean that every devotee is on the same level of spiritual attainment, but every devotee and everyone is a spiritual being. In other words, whether we're a devotee or non-devotee, then it makes no difference. We're still spiritual beings, and anyone who's trying to make advances in spiritual life, then they become under the spiritual energy, and their activities are those of the spiritual energy. To greater or lesser extents, there is big fires and there are small fires, but they're still fires. Therefore, we want to build up our fire, we have to avoid that offense along with the other ones. Consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. That we have admiration for so many different people in the material world, thinking that they're great, they're worthy to be followed. We're not even aware of who exactly we're following, what our activity is exactly emulating. Sometimes we're just unconscious. But everything we do in the material world is a service to some person, either in this lifetime or in the last lifetime or previous lifetimes. Everything we're doing is following some authority, someone that we thought was worthy to emulate. And Krishna in the heart reminds us that this is the person you want to follow, this is the instructions you want to follow, this is what you want to achieve. Now I give you the opportunity to do it in this lifetime. Therefore, anyone we consider to be greater than Krishna. In the Vedic culture, people had some faith, and there was such a person called Brahma who had created the universe, and Lord Shiva who could destroy it. But of course, for us, it's just maybe something like a fairy tale. Man with four heads or a man with three eyes. So if Krishna is greater than them, no problem, because it could be greater than, you know, these people are just imagination, so anyone could be greater than them. We don't understand how great these personalities are, be able to create a universe, and that they're insignificant compared to Krishna. And that means they're insignificant compared to the holy name. Of course, we just chant Hare Krishna and it's just all we hear is a sound vibration and there's no effect, there's no experience from it, then we have to be humble and realize it's not that necessarily a holy name is not more than what we're experiencing. What we're experiencing, even now, is due to our conditioning. After all, we should at least understand that we're not this body, that we're eternal spiritual beings. But how much are we actually experiencing that right now? How much do we experience our eternality? So to think that the holy name is something other than Krishna implies that we actually have some knowledge, we have some awareness, experience of reality, but we're not even aware of ourselves, what to speak of anything as it really is outside of ourselves. Therefore, we should accept that we're subordinate, either we're subordinate to our teachings of our mother or our teacher, or our aunt, or our friends in school, or the most popular television show I watched. I'm choosing some authority and I'm following it. It may not be Brahma or Shiva, it may be someone much more less significant, but I'm more attracted to them than am I to Krishna. I think they're Krishna. I'd rather spend my time meditating on them than on Krishna, than on the holy name. And the third offense is the blasphemy of the Vedic, I think it's the blasphemy of the Vedic literature, or consider the names of the spiritual master to be a common person. Not to have complete faith in the spiritual master, consider him an ordinary person. So, actually anyone who's superior to us, we should take as more or less our superior, that we should not think of someone ordinary. Actually, every devotee we shouldn't think is ordinary, and every devotee who's more advanced than us, especially in steadiness, in devotional service, and enthusiasm for devotional service, then we should take as our masters, our teachers, that we have to serve in order to serve their instructions, serve their example, if not personally serve them, to become inspired to come at least to their level of spiritual attainment. But if we think everyone is ordinary except for me, that I'm the center of the universe, I'm something extraordinary, then we'll miss the opportunity to actually learn how to become Krishna's servant by becoming servants of his servants. And of course, the Vedic literature is full of teachings beyond our conception, and therefore we're very prone to reject the Vedic literature, to not think it's so important, or it's inconceivable, or ununderstandable, or unpractical. But actually, the Vedic literature is what we're supposed to study so we can realize, understand what to do in order to realize what's in the Vedic literature. In other words, it doesn't matter how many heads Lord Brahma has, or how many eyes Lord Shiva has, or if there's a Brahma Loka, or, I mean, it does matter. But in our practical lives, what really matters is whether we wash our hands before and after we eat prasadam. That will actually give us some other state of experience. What we're looking for is experience, Krishna conscious experience, not just a lot of theoretical knowledge. But of course, if we think the whole universe came about by accident, that there was no person behind it or people behind it, that's also not very good. Because then we'll think everything is just dull matter and there's no intelligence behind the universe. So to know about Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva is also important so that we can act carefully in this universe as a servant rather than as the proprietor. That so many other persons are actually providing us so many things, the heat, the light, it's all being personally provided to us. It's not by accident. Therefore, I should be careful to utilize it, especially in Krishna's service. Devarshi bhutatma nrinam pitrinam nikinkaro na na niyam narayam saratma yaksharanam sharanya mukundam paruti kartum. That it, actually it's impossible, deva, rishi, bhuta, it's impossible to serve all these personalities, although we're obligated to do it. But if we simply serve Krishna to the best of our ability, then they'll also, our obligations to them will be fulfilled. The king guru nananiyanayam, rajan. That we won't be a kinkara, we won't be a kinkara or nrini, a debtor to these different personalities. Then, of course, there are other offenses, thinking ourselves to be advanced and we can relax and satisfy or gratify our senses one way or another, and the holy name will purify us, whatever reactions we get. That's not possible. Or to actually believe that there's some other goal in life superior to becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Or to believe that we know everything and that whatever we say is divine, that we don't have to be preaching appropriately, or we don't have to preach or explain Krishna consciousness in such a way that will actually help people become Krishna conscious. And we have to pay attention to the holy name, because it's Krishna. And Srimati Radharani and the whole spiritual world, and we shouldn't be thinking that's something superior to them. So in any case, we have to become a little conscious of the offenses against the holy name, and at least we could try to especially focus our minds and give our love to Krishna. Then Krishna will notice it. He's noticing it within our heart. He wants a relationship with us, although we're insignificant, but he's so kind. And therefore, if we try to avoid the offenses, then the result is that the holy name will reveal himself to us. If we go on, as it says, if we go on chanting the holy name for millions of lifetimes, but we don't become free from the 10 offenses, then we won't get love of God, which is the goal of the chanting. So it's not that we can just chant every day mechanically and expect divine life within a second. No, we have to be careful. We have to know what the 10 offenses are, try to avoid them in our lives during the day, not only what we're chanting. Not 22 hours in the day, I'm committing offenses, and for 2 hours I sit down and try to avoid them. It's not going to work very easily. It's like trying to light a fire and then pouring gallons of water on the fire, and then after you finish, while you're pouring the gallons of water on the fire, keep on trying to light it, wondering why it doesn't work. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind to give us the holy name. But we can begin with a little bit, Trinada Pi Suni Chena. If we think I've already reached perfection, I already know everything, there's no one can tell me anything, life is nothing to teach me, because I'm already perfect. Now, one should be a little humble and realize we're conditioned souls, and that there's improvement in our lives can be made to actually advance towards spiritual consciousness. And therefore, we should look for it and see what improvement I need, what I have to add and what I have to subtract, especially from my life, so my Krishna consciousness becomes a little more steady and a little stronger. And it's not just only doing things, it's also understanding things too, and accepting them, and developing the proper mood. We could do our service in oblivion, unconsciously, just get it done and wait for the prasadam to arrive. Or we could do it in a happy, joyful mood. Susukam kartum avyayam. In a happy, joyful mood, and therefore it's much more likely we'll be able to come in contact with Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna, doing service, and do it joyfully. Then the result is Krishna is much more likely to appear, because Krishna can't appear to a depressed person so easily, because he's joyful. If we become joyful, then we enter into the atmosphere of spiritual life much more easily. If you want to live in the water, you have to become like water. You can't live life as you normally do on the land and try to become one with the water. We want to enter into fire, we have to become like fire. So we want to enter into the spiritual world, we have to develop the same mood of devotion as the residents of Vrindavan, because that's all they're doing. That's their whole existence, is their mood of devotion towards Krishna. So if we find reasons to be morose or discouraged or envious, whatever, if our mind presents them to us, we should just reject them as simply superficial, because I'm not this body, nor is anyone else. It's just a drama going on called illusion. But there's every reason to accept being joyful and being optimistic and devotional, because that's our object of devotion, is the most attractive personalities and that can exist. And they're full of unlimited promise of bliss and awareness eternally. And if I simply can accept the right attitude, the right mood, with the right understanding, then the result is I can actually experience it to some extent. And by that experience, I become encouraged to go on to make further progress in devotional service. Otherwise, if we keep on doing our activities day after day mechanically, without avoiding the 10 offenses, without seeing what my mood is, whether it's actually devotional, if my activities are at least devotional, if I'm organizing my day at least, so that I'm going to be able to do my activities in Krishna consciousness, if I'm just leaving the day up to my mind, whatever I feel like doing, I think that's liberation. Freedom. If I do like that, then it's very difficult to actually develop the proper mood of service. And we don't really understand the value, the necessity of spreading Krishna consciousness. And if we don't understand that, then we can't really even begin to enter into the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is completely overwhelmed by a desire to spread Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we have an opportunity to do it. We should accept it, because that's serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mood, his desire to help all living entities come back to Krishna, which is ultimately their only hope and their only benefit in this world. And if we do that, then they'll be pleased with us, and therefore they'll give us transcendental experience, and then we'll understand why we're here. What the most important, what the highest benefit we can get from being here. If we go to a billionaire and we ask for 50 euros, it's not a very good deal. If we go to a billionaire, we should ask for whatever he's actually going to be able to give us. So similarly, if we come to the Hare Krishna movement, the greatest opportunity to develop a transcendental mood of devotion to Krishna, then we should take advantage of that, aim for that, rather than some unconscious desires that we have trying to fulfill them, or some lesser thing that we're actually dedicated our lives to. And even if we want the lesser things, we should understand, like Dhruva Maharaj understood, that even if we want these lesser things, if we strive for the highest, the lesser things will also be given to us by Krishna, by his mercy. If they all have any value to our devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada used to say, silence means acceptance. Okay, so we'll stop there. Grandhara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.